Welcome to The Crumb, a podcast by Bake From Scratch. I'm your host, Brian Hart Hoffman, and I'm here to talk all about baking. The people, the culture, and the baked goods that make us run to preheat our ovens. I love having my baking friends join me here on The Crumb, and today, Sarah Kiefer is joining, and I have known her for many years, since the beginning of Bake From Scratch, I think. So almost 8 years, Sarah and I have been friends, and we've been collaborating on baking things, and she's just amazing. She is the blogger behind the Vanilla Bean blog. She is a four-time cookbook author, and today we're going to talk about her most recent cookbook release, 100 Morning Treats. And I absolutely love this book. You should all be ordering a copy right now. And then we're also going to get some fun stories from her about her beginning in baking and how she fell in love with it and all the questions that come as a result of that. And then I'm going to wrap things up talking to you about homemade vanilla, but it's not going to be in this episode. We're going to do a future episode that follows this one, where we talk about vanilla beans and making your own extract at home. How does that sound? Yep, that's coming up on a future episode of The Crumb. But I figured while we're talking about the Vanilla Bean blog, we should be jumping to future episodes where we're going to be making our own vanilla extract and all the delicious things that you can do with it. But I digress. Today, it's all about Sarah Kiefer and her amazing new book. And I can't wait for you to listen to this conversation with my friend. Hello, Sarah, and welcome to The Crumb.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Long overdue. You know, we've had a pandemic and stuff like that get in the way, but still, long overdue for you to join me on the podcast.
I know, it's my first time. I'm so excited.
Well, we're going to have a good chat. But you know, maybe the long wait was worth it because our friendship has had time to marinate over the years. Now we've got more to banter back and forth about. You've had a new book come out that we're going to talk about. So the timing is right, even though I feel like this was maybe the one guest I've just needed to get on the podcast so much sooner. But hey, you're here now and we're going to talk all good things, sweet things, baking things. And we're going to have a good time.
Yes.
Okay. So Sarah, my conversation with you. We're going to start, we're going to rewind. So we'll get to all the new and current stuff in just a minute. But I want the listeners who may not know, which how could they not know Sarah Kiefer, the queen of the pan-banging chocolate chip cookie and all these other things. They know you, but now they're going to learn more about you. Let's take it back to the very beginning of when did young Sarah start baking and how did that come about?
Okay, so it started in about ninth grade and I had this cookie phase that I went through and I write about it in 100 Cookies, but I just became obsessed with perfecting a chocolate chip cookie, which if now that all makes sense, the universe knew what it was doing.
But It did.
But I had no baking experience. Like my mom hates baking and hates cooking and hates the kitchen. So she would do stuff with us and around the holidays and stuff, but it was always bought cookie dough, the tubes or cake mix or stuff like that. We didn't ever do anything from scratch. And so I just started going through, we had all these old church cookbooks that my grandma had given us or we had from whatever, and started going through those baking cookies and many of them have notes on them, this is disgusting, but I don't think I knew what I was doing. So I can't say if that holds true, but I ended up finding one that I loved and then I started tinkering with it. And I don't remember my winning recipe exactly, but I do know that it had butter flavored Crisco in it, which I don't know if that still holds up.
There's an ingredient we could go dig into the archives to see where its fate was met. But yeah, butter-flavored Crisco. Okay.
Butter-flavored Crisco, because I loved that it made all these cracks on the top. The shortening made these beautiful cracks. And I cared more about the cookie. Well, I cared about how it tasted, but it was so pretty. And so I want both a beautiful cookie and a delicious cookie. And at the time, that was good enough for me because I was eating really bad store-bought cookies. So this was way better. So it started there and I perfected it and then I just lost interest. And then in college, I started working at a coffee shop called the Blue Heron Coffee House in Winona, Minnesota, still there. And Larry and Colleen, who still own it, bought the place. And I had worked at the coffee shop that it was before. And our joke is I came with the place because I was the only employee that stayed. And they were super busy and they needed help in the kitchen. And they threw me in the back and asked me if I could make cookies. And I was like, sure. And it was a disaster. But over the years, they taught me how to bake and I ended up falling in love with it. And so that's where it all started.
Well, that's a, you know, you say, oh, well, that's where it started. But I love the little girl, Sarah, in the kitchen with church cookbooks, self-teaching yourself things in the beginning. So yeah, maybe when you started at the bakery, there was failure in the kitchen, but the fundamentals started for you before that. And I love that your chocolate chip cookie quest was so like ahead of this moment for you that did lead to the global fame from the pan banging chocolate chip cookies. So it's life has a great way of keep pointing in one direction, and who knew you were going to get back to that. So I think that's amazing. And then you fell in love while you were working in this bakery, but somehow you went from working in a bakery, learning to bake, falling in love with it, but you didn't open your own bakery. Instead, we had this beautiful blog emerge called the Vanilla Bean Blog. Tell us about your blog. What led you to do blogging? What led you to not stay in the bakery world? And dare I say you were in the really early, early generation of food bloggers, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. So I worked at that coffee shop. And then after college, I did some other retail work. I have an English degree and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. So, and I didn't want to teach. So I was working at Barnes & Noble. I worked there for a few years. And then I started at another coffee shop and was a barista and dabbled in the kitchen there. And then a friend of mine had opened a coffee shop and asked if I would bake there. So I did that for a few years and then got pregnant with my daughter, who's my oldest child. And I decided I wanted to be home with her at least while she was little. And so my husband and I made the decision to put a pause on working and be home. And so then I had my son soon after, and I had two little ones at home, and I found myself like, I love being home, but I was baking all of the time. And my husband would come home from work and there'd just be like countertops full of muffins. And he was like, we cannot eat all of these muffins, you know, just like, but I just miss baking. And like the kids would help me. Well, they were pretty little at that point, so not too much, but I was just like, I felt like I just had to bake.
Yeah.
A couple times a week. Like it was just in me. And it made me feel like it was just something I like to do, because parenting, you know, I have two small kids under two, it's overwhelming. And so it was like something that was just mine that I could go and do. And so my husband had suggested, why don't you just start a blog? I had another friend who just started a gardening blog, and it was right. I had like this blogger blog that I figured out the HTML by myself, like Googling it. It did not look pretty, but I started there, and I did like some sewing stuff that was like a whole nother chapter, and that was terrible. Like posted pictures of my kids, and then I would do baking stuff, and all of those posts were the ones people were like commenting on or coming to see.
Yeah.
And so then I decided to start just a baking blog, and that was the Vanilla Bean blog. And my kids were a little bit older at that point, so I had a little more time to focus on it. And so it just slowly grew out of that. If baking started to feel like a hobby or just something fun. And so I just started posting, and it just kind of grew out of that.
But that was all before at least Instagram for sure. But that might have been even before craze of Facebook and everything. So you were there when social media was exploding with content accounts. So Instagram, you yes. immediately had like an outlet. You weren't getting in later. It was kind of like once all this stuff started, you had more outlets. And, you know, for you, I think that just continued the popularity and the arrows pointing right back to your amazing content.
I always call myself
No. You finished that thought. I was okay. Like, I like where you're going with this. You stay on it.
Okay. I always call myself the second generation of food bloggers, because like there was the Smitten Kitchen had come out and we were all just like, wow,
yeah.
It was just like the most amazing blog. And so that also, Deb inspired like a lot of food bloggers that started when I did, because she was just so amazing. And 101 Cookbooks. And so I was in like that second sweep, and it was still really new, but we weren't like the originators, but we had come after. And yeah, Instagram started, and when I was a couple years into it, and I remember, like, if you go back on my feed, which you do not have to do, but there are some really interesting food pictures back there with all the like histomatic filters and frames that were so cool at first. Oh, they're so bad.
I do think, like, as a bored day activity, we should just start going back, like, deep into our Instagram archives and just do some, like, throwback Thursday again. You know, like, let's bring back the, totally. Like, look at what we were doing back then. And we thought we were just so, like, advanced with our filter and photo skills. They look like, oh, I look back at some of the stuff I posted and I thought, man, he did not know then what was going to be in the future. I can tell you that.
I know. And I'd be like, this is so good. I remember thinking that on a couple of photos, like, this is really like artsy. And then I was like, oh my gosh, it's so bad.
Hey, it evolves, styles change. We shift and we grow. And yeah, I'm going to go do a little scroll
it's
back on your
learn.
Feed. Yeah, I'm going to go back just for fun one day. Have a glass of wine and scroll back through Sarah Kiefer's Instagram. Who's with me? All the listeners, who's with me? Okay, so with the evolution of your amazing content and the popularity of the blog, you are now a 4-time cookbook author, but you've also been a part of other people's cookbook projects. I know Zoe Francois and you have worked on a lot of her content, and you've been involved in that world too. But namely, let's talk about your books. They're all beautiful, but the last three have been 100 somethings. So we had 100 cookies, then we had 100 holiday bakes. Did I get that name right?
It was just baking for the holidays.
Oh, baking. So that wasn't 100. Well, we had a beautiful holiday baking book. And now I do know for a fact the name of the book I'm holding in my hand is called 100 Morning Treats with Muffins, Rolls, Biscuits, Sweet and Savory Breakfast Spreads, and more. Let's talk about breakfast and what inspired this morning baking angle for the book. It's beautiful, by the way. And I just love the cheery yellow color usage. Very nice for morning with the sun rising. The cover photo is so beautiful. And then I really, really, really love the yellow, what is this called? Rickrack? Is that what that wiggly thing is? It's like a ribbon.
Yes.
It's in the middle of the book. So you know exactly where you are while you're baking number 1 through 100. But tell us about the book. What inspired the morning angle?
Well, first of all, more people comment about how much they love the rickrack than the recipes. So, no, I'm just, but I've had so many comments about the rickrack, which I love too. It's so cute. So morning treats were inspired by just working in coffee shops in the morning. Like, I did a lot of early mornings and feel like a lot of my baking is rooted in those early hours. And it's very nostalgic for me, but I also love all of those treats that are, you know, we eat them any time of the day, but we feel like they're morning treats like muffins and scones and quick breads and all of that. So I just wanted a book to celebrate that because that's my favorite kind of baking.
Well, I'm going to like join you in that sentiment that I'm obsessed with muffins. That's kind of my current thing right now is I feel like every weekend I'm like, what muffin can I make right now? And we're coming out of the blueberry season, which I think always brings about like that nostalgia for baking with blueberries and muffins and things like that. But if you ask my husband, or if you just even ask me, I will happily weigh in and tell you, I am not nostalgic about waking up at 2 or 3 in the morning and baking. definitely a sleep in kind of a guy, have some coffee, and then I get my motivation to get in the kitchen and start baking. So in my household, when I get a wild hair to do some morning baking, we're really having that morning treat, like maybe at brunch time, 11 or 12. But your book has so much information in it for those of us like me that can't do that early swing in the kitchen, but we still want those morning treats. Tell us how you approach that. What are your philosophies? Are there make-ahead moments mentioned throughout the book? Like, tell us how we can still have those delicious morning treats even when we sleep in.
Well, I love make-ahead recipes. I feel like I love recipes that you do a few days in advance even. Like, that's my jam because you just do a little bit every day and then it doesn't feel like as much work. I'm finding out not everyone loves this because a lot of my yeasted doughs you can make over a couple days and people get a little tripped up by that. But I always find it like it feels easier to me to just do things in steps. So I've made a lot of the recipes being able to do that because I want people to have that option. You don't have to, but I find it just helps to like mix stuff ahead of time. So a lot of the muffin recipes, the batter you can put in the fridge overnight and they'll bake up awesome the next morning, which is great. And I didn't know until I wrote this book that you could do that with a lot of muffin batter because I was always taught like it needs to be so fresh, but they bake up really great. The scones you can freeze and they bake awesome after being frozen. And then again, a lot of the yeasted doughs you can make over 1 or 2 days. So you're not getting up at 1 in the morning trying to make cinnamon rolls for your family.
Well, you say cinnamon roll, and I'm looking at a photo right now of a beautiful cinnamon roll pull apart bread. Okay, hello, I am done here because I need cinnamon roll pull apart bread in my life. But I love that you've got the make ahead methods here because, I mean, we're looking at yeasted dough. We're looking at hours. And if you're not waking up early, that's not going to be a morning treat. Not that it wouldn't be great at 2 o'clock in the afternoon either. But then I see recipes in the book for these amazing muffins and quick breads. So there truly is everything you could think about for a morning, sweet treat or, oh gosh, cinnamon twist, everything cinnamon. You could do 100 cinnamon recipes next and I would be your number one fan. Banana fritters. Hey y'all, we're frying in this book. We are making fritters, but you live in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Are you from there? Were you born and raised?
Yes.
Okay, so now I can say with a fact, you are from Minneapolis, Minnesota, the home of Nordic Ware, who makes all of these amazing bundt pans. And I see you've got some in the book. So you're staying true to Hometown Girl, has got some amazing bundt cakes in here for us too. And I'm really getting glued on this pumpkin donut bundt. I got to go back and find the photo. Stunning.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a good one. It tastes, you know, it's not exactly like a donut because obviously it's not fried, but it has all those yummy flavors of the sugar on top. And it just has kind of that mouthfeel of a donut. And it's a great when it's warm, just warm after being flipped. It's really good.
See, I know everyone listening right now is clicking order, 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 get the book here. We know that autumn baking is like, you know, I don't know. It's like the Olympic season
it's
for
everything.
Baking. I mean, I'm looking at maple oatmeal scones. I'm like, how perfect for fall is this? So yeah, we're ready. Fall baking's headed our way and morning treats are going to be amazing. If you had to pick one favorite recipe in the book, could you say, is there anything that's like your go-to forever and ever? Amen. You put it in the book because it's a favorite.
Oh, there's so many. That's so hard, Brian.
I know. I ask questions that actually I don't like when people ask me, but we're here. It's my podcast and I'm doing it to you.
You can ask me. I always say whatever the one that I'm eating is my favorite. But I really love, and I keep forgetting about it, is the white chocolate and fig bundt cake.
Oh, yeah.
And that one, I just love. The pound cake itself is really dreamy. Like I have the everything bundt cake in there, just vanilla. That's a favorite. I actually made it last night for my husband's first day at work to bring in. but I added some fig and white chocolate, a little orange, and it is so good. And I forget there's just like little bursts of fig and the sweetness of the white chocolate, and it's really good.
I love it. So this brings up a very interesting conversation topic, seasonality of produce. And I mention it because at Bake From Scratch, we're based in Birmingham, Alabama. We start our strawberry season in the spring in March. And Florida has their strawberry season in like December, January, February. So we're like strawberries are happening, obviously, all over the world at all these different times. So when you think about fig or things like that, are you thinking about late summer? Are you thinking autumn? Like when are you thinking about figs? Because the Alabama figs are already done.
Right. Well, I use dried figs.
There we go.
Because I live in Minnesota and we have like 2 weeks of summer and it's a very short fruit season. So I often turn to frozen or dried fruits and stuff because sometimes we just have to. We can't get great produce as, you know, for as many months as everyone else can. But this recipe, I use the dried figs because I like to also, it's really important to me in my recipes that items are accessible, like ingredients are accessible to anybody.
Sure.
Because I remember being a broke college student who wanted to bake and I did not have money to bake. And so, you know, you'd scrimp and save to get these like really great chocolates, a cookbook recommended, and then you don't really know what you're doing and then doesn't turn out and it feels so disappointing. So I just want to make sure people have access to the ingredients for my recipes.
I love that you said that too, because it's something that is in the DNA of our company as well. When my mom started Taste of the South magazine, I think that was our first culinary magazine here at Hoffman Media, and we were opening a test kitchen, one of the first things that she said to the culinary team, and I say team, but I think it was one or two people, she said, I want us to have amazing foods. I want us to have things that people are inspired to make something different. But every ingredient better be available in the grocery store here in Birmingham, Alabama, so that we know it's accessible, it's on the grocery shelf. And I like that you have that same philosophy. And when I think sometimes we think of baking at Bake from Scratch, and even as I look at your book with laminated doughs and pastries and things like that, it's easy to sometimes think, oh, it's, you know, elevated or it's artisan, and that means something that almost equates to unapproachable or inaccessible. But that's not really the case. And I love that you just said that.
Oh, yeah. It's really important to me. I feel like the core of myself, you know, is just a Midwest, middle-class gal who, yeah, I hate that word, lady. Just sounded so cheesy. I love baking, and there are so many times I couldn't make something because I just like couldn't afford it that paycheck or whatever. And I just want to make sure people are able to do that.
Well, I think that is so admirable. So let's talk about a recipe that maybe came as a surprise to you. Is there anything in the book that maybe an accident led to a new recipe, or an idea you were working on didn't work out, but you shifted gears and then voila, this amazing thing appeared in your creative think tank as you were creating the recipes for the book?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head, sadly. I wish I had an exciting story.
Well, no, I mean, I know that as we get into all of our work, you know, there is thought and there's knowledge and there's planning, but I think sometimes, I love to like find out what maybe the unexpected led to, or was there one recipe you wanted to have in the book so badly, but it didn't make it in? Like anything you can tell us that maybe some sneak peeks into the process?
Yeah, well, I had this amazing sourdough discard scone recipe that I made. It was strawberry sourdough scones, and I lost the recipe and I cannot figure out how I did it, because they were like the best scones I've ever made in my life. And even my mom came over and she's like, these are incredible. And I don't know where the recipe is. And I like kind of know how it was, but I can't get it. Just, I made it like four times in a row and then I lost it. And so now I'm just like, there's this hole in my heart of these discard scones, because it just added this little bit of tangy flavor. It was just perfect.
Are you going back to the drawing board and working on it?
Yes, and I have, but they just aren't turning out like they did. I don't know what it is. So frustrating.
Well, so now we're going to be like stalking you, and like I'm just going to jump on any time you post a strawberry recipe on your your platform. I'm just going to comment like, Sarah, I think it would be great if there was a sourdough scone with strawberries, and just start really pushing for this to come to fruition.
I
love strawberry anything, and I love sourdough discard recipes because they are so valuable when you just don't want to throw away your discard as you're getting your starter fed and everything. So the world needs it, Sarah. The world needs it.
I know. And I just took a sourdough making class because that's the one thing, like with bread, that I just haven't like deep dived into, and it's something I want to learn really well. So I'm going to have all this discard now. So I will get to it this fall.
You heard it here
first. And
I'll
send it to you.
Yes. Well, I think maybe it should show up in Bake from Scratch magazine next spring if you're up for a little sourdough scone story or something like that.
Perfect. That'll give me like a deadline.
See? Yes. That's give a deadline.
I need
now,
deadlines.
Yeah. I'm trying to get the scoop on it now so that everyone listening knows, like, okay, it's going to show up one day and Brian and Sarah are going to be on it together. I can't wait. So that sounds like an amazing recipe.
All right. Perfect. It's a deal.
Well, I always have so much fun with you. And anytime I'm in Minneapolis, Sarah so graciously comes to meet me for dinner. We always go somewhere new. Zoe comes and hangs out. Like, it's just like the little Minneapolis meetup. I love it. And
it's so fun.
You and I are going to be doing another fun thing together coming up at the end of September. We will be having our 100th baking school class with William Sonoma and Bake From Scratch. And Sarah has taught with me before, but she's a favorite. She's coming back to the Monday night baking school class. It's a virtual class. You can all sign up, but it's our 100th class. And we have got so many amazing giveaways going on during the class that William Sonoma is putting in all these amazing kitchen items. I've got some Bake From Scratch stuff coming up. We'll probably be giving away a copy of 100 Morning Treats for everyone. So get in that class. Sarah, what are you teaching at the end of September for us?
It's caramel apple muffins.
And you heard it here first. And you heard it here first, everybody. So caramel apple muffins, autumn baking, full swing. Sign up for baking school. I know you're going to get Sarah's book because you've probably already ordered it while we've been chatting. Sarah, I can't wait for the class because then we're going to get to see each other on camera and it just takes this whole interacting to the next level.
It's so fun. I can't wait.
Any closing thoughts for the listeners? Anything you want them to know? How can they find you? What are your .coms and your platform handles so that we can fully love and embrace you from our audience here at The Crumb?
Yes. So yeah, I have my book, 100 Morning Treats, out. It came out in May, but it's a great fall baking book. I am working on another cookbook that's coming out next fall, but I can't say what it is, but it will be another 100 thing.
Ooh.
And I know, and probably Instagram is the best way, Sarah_Kiefer, or else my blog, The Vanilla Bean Baking Blog.
And that is how you're going to interact and love on Sarah's amazing baked goods. Her recipes are amazing. Her books are amazing. I can't wait to have her back teaching. But more than that, I'm so glad that we are friends in the baking world. I always enjoy when I get to interact with you. And I am so grateful that you joined us here today on The Crumb.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad that we are friends too.
Yes, it makes life sweeter for sure. All right, Sarah, next time I talk to you, we'll be teaching a class together. And for everyone listening, don't forget to get a copy of 100 Morning Treats. Sign up for our baking school class, and we will see you then on that Monday night. Thank you, Sarah. This has been great.
Thank you so much for having me.
I mean, I'm still hung up on this sourdough strawberry scone. I know y'all are too. So look for it. I'm going to keep begging. Hopefully it's going to be in the pages of Bake From Scratch. But if not, Sarah will let us know where we can find that amazing recipe. But such a good episode today. I love hearing stories of my baking friends and how they started their baking passion and how things have gone and grown for them. I know I mentioned her famous chocolate chip pan banging cookie in the beginning of the episode, but you really should check that out too for one epic chocolate chip cookie. She started her baking career at 9 years old, striving for that perfect cookie, and she absolutely landed it. And the global fame that has come because of it is so well deserved. So you've got a lot of baking homework to do. Interact with Sarah on social media, and I'm sure you've already got that amazing book on the way. But y'all, this is what the baking world's all about: chatting with friends, supporting them. And I want you to be a Sarah fan just like I am. And for that, we're going to have to finish this episode because it's just been so good. All right. So once you get your Sarah cookbook or you're on her website, it's your turn to do the baking. So preheat your ovens, everybody. It's time to bake. We'll chat with you here on The Crumb for our next episode. If you liked our podcast, please rate, subscribe, and tell a friend about us. And to keep up with my baking endeavors, follow me on Instagram at Brian Hart Hoffman. You can also follow Bake From Scratch at The Bake Feed. And for online recipes and fresh baking content, be sure to visit our website, bakefromscratch.com. We even have a newsletter called Preheat to get you ready for all the baking that lies ahead. Finally, for real-life baking inspiration, grab a copy of the magazine on newsstands or sign up for a subscription and we'll mail the magazine to you with each and every new issue.